بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The next حديث لحديث أبي سعيد الخدري، وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن صيام يومين، يوم الفطر ويوم النحر. متفق عليه. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade fasting on 2 days, the day of Al-Fitr, which is the day of breaking the fast of Ramadan, and the day of Al-Adha, the offering sacrifices. And this is an agreed upon hadith. In this hadith, as you can tell, the Sahabi, and his name is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, he is the one who said that Allah's Messenger forbade. Is this the same as him relating the wording of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Like, for example, in this case, don't fast the 2 days. The answer, it is not like it, but it carries the meaning. It carries its meaning. This is said because it is possible that the Sahabi, the companion, may understand from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ the forbiddance, while it's not. And that's why its indication is weaker than the indication of the explicit formatting when it is said that the Prophet ﷺ said, don't do this and don't do that. But still, in terms of the ruling, it takes the ruling as the ruling of the Prophet ﷺ, don't do or do. Is that clear regarding this point of benefit? So in this case, the Prophet ﷺ forbade fasting two days. The day of the Fitr, and this is the first day of Shawwal. And Shawwal is what? What's Shawwal? What number of it carries in the Islamic calendar? It is the tenth month after Ramadan. So the day of Eid is the first of Shawwal, and the day of sacrifice is the tenth of Dhul Hijjah. And the day of sacrifice, يوم النحر, the day of sacrifice, offering sacrifices, is the day of Al-Adha, and this is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Is that clear? On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Now, why did the Prophet ﷺ forbid fasting these 2 days? Because these are days of delight and enjoyment. And you know, the person, the human, is human. With fasting, he's not open in terms of his manifestation of enjoyment, etc. But as to the saying of some, or the reason being that because the people are the guests of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for them the breaking of the fast, rather it is to be said that the forbiddance is because they are days of Eid. The days of Eid. And that the person should complete his enjoyment in these days by taking what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted him to from his favors. Because this sharia, and all praise is due to Allah, is a sharia of yusr, of ease. And if people really apply the sharia in this sense, then people would enter the deen of Allah in masses. He forbade the fasting of these 2 days. This does not necessitate that there are no other days which are forbidden to fast other than these two. Other than these two, may be forbidden to fast and may not be forbidden to fast. From the benefit of this hadith is, the first benefit is forbidding fasting the days of Eid. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ forbade their fasting. Second, affirming these days that these days are Eid for Muslims. And the first is the Eid al-Fitr, following the fasting of Ramadan. And the fasting of Ramadan is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And the second is Eid al-Adha, which follows the day of Arafah. Eid al-Adha, the Eid of sacrifice, follows the day of Arafah. And the day of Arafah is the particular rukun of Hajj. And that's why in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Al-Hajj is Arafah. And he didn't say At-Tawaf, circulating the Kaaba, and the Sa'i between Mount Safa and Marwa and so forth. But he rather said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Al-Hajj is Arafah. Because it is the rukun, the pillar that is specific to Hajj. And the Umrah does not share Arafah in that sense. There is no staying at Arafah in Umrah. طيب, what about if the person fasts these days? Then it is haram. Haram. And his fasting is not accepted. For it being haram, because the person commits that which the Prophet ﷺ considered or directed to be and commanded to be forbidden. And for it being not accepted, because of the Prophet ﷺ saying, whoever does an action, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ, whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our command, then he will have it rejected. And so, fasting them is not the command of Allah or His Messenger. And not only that, but it is in opposition to the command of Allah and His Messenger, because there is forbiddance. The second thing is, what about if someone vows to fast them? Like, for example, he's saying, I will have a vow to fast the Eid al-Fitr or the Eid al-Adha. Then what is the ruling regarding this vow? The answer, the vow is haram, is forbidden, and it is not permissible to fulfill it. And it is not permissible to fulfill it. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, مَنْ نَذَرَ أَنْ يَعْصِيَ اللَّهَ فَلَا يَعْصِي. Whoever vows, makes a vow to disobey Allah, then must not disobey Him. But the question is, what should he do? What should the person do? What is upon him? Must he make them up? Or must he expiate the expiation of an oath because the vow is not established? The answer is the second. The answer is the second. Meaning, he expiates the expiation of an oath. Why? Because if he is commanded to make them up, then this necessitates that the vow was valid, while it is not. Is that clear to you? So therefore, accordingly, what is binding upon him is that if he makes a vow to fast these days, then he must expiate the expiation of an oath. Is that clear? He must expiate the expiation of an oath. طيب. What about if he vows to fast on Monday? And this agreed to be the Eid of Al-Adha or the Eid of Al-Fitr. Then in this case, it is not permissible for him to fulfill the vow because it is a sin. However, what is obligated upon him is to make up, but not to expiate. there is another saying, another opinion, is that he expiates because of missing the time. And as to the makeup, because in origin his vow is valid, because he vowed to fast Monday. He did not vow to fast the day of Eid, but then Monday agreed to be the day of the Eid. Is that clear? Now, the next hadith, this concludes this hadith, 558, and then we go to hadith 559, according to the numbering in Bulugh al-Maram. And in this hadith, وعن نبيشة الهذلي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وذكر لله عز وجل. نبيشة الهذلي رضي الله عنه said that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the days of التشريق are days of eating, drinking and remembrance of Allah, the great and the glorious. The days of Tashriq. Tashriq. This means making something, exposing something so that the sun rises on it. And this is something known to the Arabs, the days of Tashriq, and they are the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. The 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. They were called as such, Tashriq, because people used to put the meat of their sacrificing animals, sacrificed animals, and their offerings in these days on the sun, so that it dries and does not spoil. Is that clear? That's where the meaning came. Now, so in this case, these days are days of eating, drinking, and remembrance. So these are not days for fasting. And remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning it's a sunnah to have abundant remembrance of Allah during these days. And Allah linked, Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal linked the remembrance with eating and drinking because of two reasons. First reason is to say to the person that you will not miss the reward if you don't fast, because you have the remembrance of Allah. Is that clear? The second reason, if these days are days of remembrance for Allah, the person needs energy to remember Allah, especially during the days, the summer days, of intense heat and stretched daylight, lengthy days, daylights. So he needs therefore iftar, so that he is to eat and drink, so that he can strengthen himself to make the remembrances. And this may indicate even the hint or the meaning which was mentioned in terms of the reason why the days of Eid were forbidden to fast them, that the person in these days would be enjoying these days, and he would have an open chest and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the Eid prayer and the like, from the benefits of this hadith is that it is not permissible to fast the days of Tashriq. These are the 11th, 12th and 13th of the Al-Hijjah, and in the next hadith we will know the exception with respect to the case of the individual who may not find, might afford the sacrificial animal in Hajj. We will learn about that exception. But it is not permissible for during the to fast the days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th, and 13th of the Hijjah. And if these days are days of eating and drinking and remembrance, then the person should not abandon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him from his bounty, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made these days days of eating and drinking. These are not days for fasting. And in this we learn the other benefit is that the Sharia, the wisdom of the Sharia, the Islamic Sharia, by giving the self some of its share where it needs the enjoyment and of times. And that's why in these days of Tashriq, the 11th, 12th and 13th, and the days of Eid, it is permissible to have enjoyment and a kind of play, like the using the duf and the using the some games that are lawful, like playing with swords or rifles or the like. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that man is weak and needs something to entertain himself with, to bring joy to the self. The next benefit is the legality of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these days. And in this also there is evidence for the preponderating opinion that the takbir is legal in the days of Tashriq all the time, and not restricted to the times following the Salah. I repeat, in this hadith there is evidence for the preponderating opinion that the takbir that it's legal to make the takbir in the days of Tashriq all the time, not being restricted to the times after Salah. And that the preponderating opinion in this matter is that in the days of Tashriq, the 3 days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th and 13th, and also the day of Eid and the day of Arafah, the takbir is general and restricted. And what's the difference? That the difference is that the general, you make the remembrances all times. The restricted is that which is restricted to the time following the completion of the Salah. And the next benefit is that the 11th and 12th and 13th, it is permissible to sacrifice during these days. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ made the ruling the same in terms of eating and drinking and remembrance. This is in contrast to the opinion which states that the sacrifice is not permissible except on the Eid itself, or the Eid, and 2 days after that. The correct opinion in this matter is that the days of sacrifice are 4, the day of the Eid and 3 days after that. In the next hadith, which is hadith 560, the hadith of Aisha and Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhum, wa an Aisha wa ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhum qala lam yurakhas fi ayyam at-tashriq an yusamna illa liman lam yajid al-hadi, rawahu al-Bukhari. Aisha and Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with them all, said that nobody was allowed to fast on the days of Tashriq except those who could not afford the hadi, the sacrifices. This is reported by Al-Bukhari. except for those who, the exception therefore, for those who could not afford the hadi, meaning the hadi of enjoying the hajj. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, as the one who cannot afford, meaning the hadi, the sacrifice, then فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ. Then what's upon him is to fast the 3 days in Hajj and 7 upon return. And the days of Tashriq are from the days of Hajj. The days of Tashriq, as you know, are from the days of Hajj. In them, the pilgrim makes the rami, throwing the petals, and staying at Mina. So, they were made permissible to fast for the pilgrim who cannot afford the hadi, because if he does not fast, then the Hajj will end before he fasts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the Hajj a place or a time for their fasting. Is that clear so far from the benefits of the hadith? That it is permissible to fast the days of Tashriq, permissible to fast the days of Tashriq, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, for the one who does not afford the hadi, sacrifice an animal. Now, can we make this the ruling raised and say that the one who permitted this is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or we say that this is from their, meaning Aisha and Ibn Umar's, understanding? There is a possibility, because if it is from their saying, then they deducted it from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 3 days in Hajj. And there are no days in Hajj after the days of Tashriq. Is that clear? This is assuming that this is from their saying. It's clear to you now. If we say that this is the statement is from Aisha's statement and Ibn Umar's statement, you know, then this would be a deduction from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ, fasting 3 days in Hajj, and there are no days for Hajj after the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Right? Right now? Now, it's possible that what is intended is that this is from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is closer. So therefore, this will be an exception from the earlier hadith. The hadith of Nubaysha, right? The days of Tashriq are days of eating and drinking and remembrance of Allah. So this will be an exception. Clear? From the general prohibition. So far clear, inshallah? So therefore, the one who does not afford the hadi, the sacrifice of animal, then fast 3 days in Hajj and 7 upon return, even if these 3 days are from the days of Tashriq. Now question, is it permissible to fast the day of Eid as being one of the three? Is it permissible to fast the day of Eid, which is the 10th, and consider it from the three? The answer is no, because the permit is what? Restricted to which days? In the case of the person who does not afford the sacrifice an animal, it is restricted to the 11th, 12th, and the 13th, the Tashriq days. The days of Tashriq, right? Now, another question which is extra, unrelated to the subject of fasting. If the person who does not afford the sacrifice fasts the days of Tashriq right from the time he made the Ihram, entering the state of Ihram for Umrah, is it permissible for him or not? The answer is, it is permissible, and this is the correct opinion. But someone may raise the following question. The Umrah is before Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, fasting 3 days in Hajj. The answer is, we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the Umrah entered the Hajj or became integrated in the Hajj. So therefore, it is permissible to fast the 3 days from the time the person enters the state of Umrah, and he has all, he can fast, including the days of, until the end of the days of Tashriq. And remember, with respect to, therefore, it is permissible for him to fast during the Umrah time, or between the Umrah and Hajj, or in the Hajj, with the condition that the fasting not to exceed the days of Tashriq, the time for the days of Tashriq. Not go beyond the days of Tashriq. This is the discussion, or the end of the discussion regarding this hadith. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.